Actionable Ethics, with a practical guide to ESG. Written by Daniel Natale. Narrated by Daniel Natale. Copyright 2022 Daniel Natale. Audiobook copyright 2022 Daniel Natale. Preface. The business world is naturally concerned with ethics. According to economist Alexander Wagner of the University of Zurich, one out of seven companies operating today engages in systematically fraudulent behavior. His data indicate that this costs shareholders and consumers an estimated $380 billion a year in the United States. There's a cost to companies as well. As Wagner reminds us, reputation is very important to future business. Quote, "We find, for example, at the University of Zurich that Swiss banks who get caught up in media in the context of tax evasion or tax fraud have bad media coverage. They lose net new money in the future and therefore make lower profits. That's a very powerful reputational force," end quote. A company's brand is just another name for its reputation. Damage the reputation and you destroy the brand. According to a study, Gibson, Sohn, Tanner, and Wagner 2017, quote, "Investors prefer to invest with companies whose CEOs are perceived as honest, and the market believes companies more when managers in the past have not engaged in earnings management," end quote. Clearly, the abandonment of ethics has long-term effects on a company's viability. But moving away from senior management, unethical behavior among rank-and-file employees also has troubling effects on companies. According to a 2012 report from the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, ACFE, quote, "The typical U.S. business loses 7% of its annual revenues to employee fraud, and small businesses have the most cases and the highest losses," end quote. Unethical behavior hurts companies, to say nothing of the toxic impact on the wider society in terms of social decay. Ethics, after all, creates a common language, one that surmounts the differences of varying groups. Historian Peter Turchin makes this case. He asserts that societies collapse when they don't have a common ethical structure. He cites how large states first burst onto the world scene and observes the fact that for most of human history, large tracts of territory were impossible to bring into an interconnected system. Then suddenly, around the time of the emergence of the great moral revolutions, humanity finally broke the million square kilometer threshold. In the physical copy of the book, a chart is included. In it, you can see the x-axis, which represents time starting in the 3rd millennium BC, and the y-axis, which plots the territorial extent of the largest cooperative systems, i.e. empires. The chart shows that the scale is logarithmic. In antiquity, empires had problems breaking through the threshold of 1 million square kilometers. And then, between 800 and 200 BC, suddenly there was a breakthrough, and the social scale of integration increased by an order of magnitude. This period starts with the Persian Empire, then the Roman Empire, the Han Chinese Empire, and so forth. Carl Jaspers calls this the Axial Age, the time when a number of world religions and philosophies sprang into being. The parallel emergence of large cooperation zones and new iconic belief systems, says Turchin, is no coincidence. Societies need a common social bond that can overcome racial differences, tribal differences, and language differences. Common belief systems help surmount those challenges. Turchin is quick to point out that it doesn't have to be a religion per se. For instance, the Romans had Stoic philosophy. Buddhism was an atheistic code that taught one how to live without the gods. So you can have a society that cooperates without mysticism. The main point is to have a common ethical code. Without this, large states break down. Whereas in the past we strove for a cohesive society and unified culture, after the Industrial Revolution, specialization started to erode this. Philip Leslie in his book, The People Factor, comments, quote, "Segmentation is also a consequence of the growing specialization in most fields of endeavor. Almost everyone is becoming more involved in the complexities of his field of interest. Each field tends to become more fragmented, with each individual concentrating his training and attention on a narrow segment. Accordingly, he devotes his attention to other fields or even segments of the field he's in, such as medicine or law or architecture, and at the same time, each field becomes less understandable to others. In spite of increased levels of education, which used to be considered the hope for broader understanding, education is intensifying specialization, and therefore segmentation and alienation," end quote. In modern statecraft, this is why the phenomenon known as identity politics arose, whereby political messaging was no longer targeted at a generic American public, but at specific demographic target groups, with the messaging being tailored differently for each. This naturally conduces toward what the writer Gillian Tett called the silo effect. She describes this phenomenon with regard to corporate...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?